بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. We continue the explanation of the three fundamental principles of Islam. And the author, rahimahullah, began his reminder in his book about the four important matters, and that is knowledge, sure knowledge, acting according to the knowledge, and calling to it, and patiently persevering regarding any harm which may be encountered on the way of actualizing the knowledge or manifesting the worship. And all of this is his evidence. He cited the evidence from Surah Al-Asr, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. By time, mankind is in loss, except for those who truly believe and worship Allah alone, and do righteous deeds, performing that which is obligatory upon them, and avoiding that which they are forbidden, and enjoin one another with patient perseverance upon obedience to Allah and in facing harm and trials. Now, then he cited the saying of Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, who said, لو ما أنزل الله حجة على خلقه إلا هذه السورة لكفتهم. If Allah had sent down to His creation no other proof besides this surah, this chapter, it would have been sufficient for them. Al-Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah. He is Abu Abdullah Muhammad bin Idris ibn Abbas, or ibn al-Abbas, ibn Uthman, ibn al-Shafi'i, al-Hashimi, al-Qurashi, and one of the four known imams. May Allah's mercy be upon all of them. He lived between 150 to 204 after the Hijrah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. What is the meaning of this statement by Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah? If Allah had sent down to His creation no other proof except this surah, it would have been sufficient for them. It means, لو أن الله, if Allah had sent, and if He only had sent this surah for mankind as a way of salvation, and a path to follow, then it would be sufficient. It would have been sufficient. And this path of deliverance is al-Iman, faith and righteous deeds. And Iman is based upon knowledge. Al-Iman, faith and righteous deeds, and recommending one another concerning the truth, commending one another with the truth, and also enjoin one another with patient perseverance. These are the four matters leading to deliverance. Ayah wahida, one verse, making clear the task of the Ummah. And that's why Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah Ibn Taymiyyah, when he cited this statement by Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, he said what al-Imam al-Shafi'i said is the right thing, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed that جميع الناس خاسرون, all mankind are in loss, except the one who in himself is a believer, righteous, doing righteous deeds. And with respect to others, enjoining what is right, and also enjoin with others the patient perseverance upon obedience to Allah and in facing harm and triumphs. And Imam Ibn Kathir rahimahullah even commented on this and related another say related the saying of Imam Shafi'i, but with a slightly different wording, where he quoted him to have said, لو تدبر الناس هذه السورة لوسعتهم, if mankind would contemplate or ponder this surah, this chapter, it would have been sufficient for them. So this surah, as our Shaykh rahimahullah mentioned, is sufficient for the creation as an encouragement to adhere to the deen by true faith, by true iman, righteous actions, calling to Allah and patiently persevering upon that. Then he rahimahullah added, he does not mean, meaning Imam Shafi'i, that this surah is sufficient for the creation with regard to all matters of the deen and its prescriptions. Rather, he said this because an intelligent and discerning person who hears this chapter, who hears this surah, or recites it, must necessarily hasten to free himself from the state of loss by attainment of these four characteristics, which are true faith, righteous actions, mutual encouragement upon the truth, and a mutual enjoyment of patient perseverance. This concludes the four matters which the author rahimahullah stressed in the beginning of his book. Then now he went on to speak about the three fundamentals. And before he got into that, he reminded us of the saying of Imam al-Bukhari once again, stressing the importance of sure knowledge. He related the saying of Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala. And who is Imam al-Bukhari? He is Abu Abdullah Muhammad bin Ismail ibn Ibrahim ibn al-Mughira al-Bukhari. He was born in the year 194 in Bukhara, and he grew up as an orphan in the care of his mother, and he died on the night preceding Eid al-Fitr in the year 256 after Hijrah in the town of Khaltank, which is about 2 league distance away from Samarkand. This is Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah. In short, he said, he related his saying, chapter, meaning Imam al-Bukhari tabulated in his book, chapter, al-ilmu qabla al-qawli wal-amal, knowledge before speech and action. This statement indicates that the utterance by the tongue and its action have no consideration in or on the scale of the Sharia unless it is established upon knowledge. And thus, knowledge is a condition for the correctness of the saying and the action. And the evidence for this is in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Muhammad 47 verse 19, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ. So know, O Muhammad, so know, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that لا إله إلا الله, that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, and ask forgiveness for your sin. So he started with knowledge. And this addressing, so on, O Muhammad, is to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it also is an address for the entire ummah. No. So this is the knowledge. Then he said, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, and ask forgiveness for your sin. And this is the action. And this is the action. Ask forgiveness for your sin. This is the action. Some of the righteous predecessors, may Allah's mercy be upon all of them, cited this verse as a proof for the merits of knowledge. Here is Abu Nu'aym rahimahullah in his book Al-Hilya, related from Sufyan bin Uyayna, may Allah's mercy be upon him, that when he was asked about the merits of knowledge, he said, أَلَمْ تَسْمَعْ قَوْلَهُ تَعَالَى حِينَ بَدَأَ بِهِ. Didn't you hear the saying of Allah when he started by it, meaning by knowledge, and he said, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَعْلَمْ, and know, أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah. Then he commanded action afterwards by saying, وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ, and seek forgiveness for your sin. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded his prophet. And the beginning of the command was focused upon knowledge. فَعْلَمْ, and know. Before he commanded him to act, this is telling us two things. First, the merits of knowledge. And that it precedes action. After stressing this important matter, knowledge preceding speech and action, and the proof of it from Surah Muhammad, chapter 47, verse 19, the author, rahimahullah, said, quote, اعلم رحمك الله أنه يجب على كل مسلم ومسلمة تعلم ثلاث هذه المسائل, or تعلم هذه المسائل الثلاث, according to some copies it differed. No, may Allah's mercy be upon you, he said, that it is obligatory upon every Muslim, male and female, to learn and act upon the following three matters. So he started by making dua, saying, no, may Allah's mercy, or may Allah have mercy upon you. This indicates his care to benefit his Muslim brother, as was mentioned earlier. Then he said, أَنَّهُ يَجِبُ عَلَى كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ, that it is obligatory upon every Muslim, male and female, وَمُسْلِمَ. And these matters are, the three matters are, then he begins by them one by one. But overall, these matters are as following. This first matter concerns توحيد الربوبية, singling Allah alone in lordship. And the second matter is توحيد الألوهية, singling Allah alone in divinity, that He is the only true God worthy of being worshipped. And the third matter is concerning giving allegiance to Allah and His deen, and disassociating from shirk and all that opposes the tawheed. This is the focus of the three, these are the three matters actually, which he reminded us about. توحيد الربوبية, توحيد الألوهية, and the third is concerning the allegiance to the deen. These are the three fundamentals which he reminded us about. Then the first one, he said, Al-Ula, the first one, أَنَّ اللَّهَ خَلَقَنَا وَرَزَقَنَا وَلَمْ يَتْرُكْنَا هَمَلًا, that Allah created us and provided sustenance for us, and He didn't leave us without a purpose. This is the first one. This is the first matter. Allah created us. And the proofs for this are sam'i, meaning textual, and aqli, aqliya, meaning intellectual. The proofs are textual and intellectual. As to the textual proofs, they are many. From them is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-An'am, chapter 6, verse 2. هو الذي خلقكم من طين ثم قضى أجل وأجل مسمى عنده ثم أنتم تمترون. It is He who has created you from clay and then has decreed a stated term for you to die, and there is with Him another determined term for you to be resurrected, yet you doubt in the resurrection. Also in Surah Al-A'raf, chapter 7, verse 11, قال الله عز وجل وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَاكُمْ ثُمَّ صَوَّرْنَاكُمْ, and we created you and fashioned you. And surely we created you and then gave you shape, which is the noble shape of a human being. Also the saying of Allah in Surah Az-Zumar, verse 62, الله خالق كل شيء, Allah is the creator of all things. And in Surah Al-Hijr 15:26, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ صَلْصَالٍ مِنْ حَمَئٍ مَسْنُونَ, and indeed we created man from sounding clay of altered black smooth mud. And in the Surah Ar-Rum, chapter 30, verse 20, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ إِذَا أَنْتُمْ بَشَرٌ تَنْتَشِرُونَ, and from amongst His signs is that He created you from clay, and then you, the offspring of your father Adam, and are human beings scattered upon the earth. And also in Surah As-Saffat 37:96, وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَكُمْ وَمَا تَعْمَلُونَ, and Allah created you and your handiwork and what you make. Also in Surah Al-Dhariyat, chapter 51, verse 56, قال الله تعالى وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, and I, Allah, created not the jinns and humans and mankind except that they should worship Me alone. These are the textual proofs. As for the intellectual proofs, this is proven by the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah At-Tur, chapter 52, verse 35, أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ. Were they created by nothing, or were they themselves the creators? This is an intellectual proof, this verse, that it's inevitable that there is a creator, and that this universe did not come to exist out of accidentally or randomly, because the intellectual reference to this matter necessitates three things without any doubt. Number one, it is either that we were created without a creator, and this is impossible, because creation must be related to a creator. Like movement must be linked to a moving force or a moving action. Someone to move it. The thing cannot be displaced from itself, cannot be displaced from its place without someone displacing it or moving it. And this is a necessitated matter known to the people who have sound intellect. So, for us to be existing without a creator, this is impossible. And people, even those obstinate, they know that. For example, if you tell someone that this palace, with all of its organization and decorations and the beautiful things that furnished it, you tell him, look, this is the palace. It came accidentally, without construction, without preparation. They would immediately reject your statement and belie you. And they will say, this is impossible, because the palace needs to be raised, its foundations, its structure, and preparation, and workers, and so forth. So this is impossible. The second matter, or it is that we created ourselves, or it is that we created ourselves. And this is even more corrupt than the first presumption. More corrupt. Because the non-existing is unable to bring himself into existence. Because non-existence is a defect, and creating is perfection. So how could we make the defective perfect? This is also impossible. So therefore it's inevitable that the third matter, or the third one, is the correct intellectual conclusion that لا بد لنا من خالق. But it's inevitable that we are in need of a creator, and he is the Lord, the all-able, and that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ. Were they created by nothing? Meaning just like that, without any creator. This is the first one. Then he said أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ. Or did they create themselves? This is the second matter. And then the third one, which the verse did not mention, because if it is impossible for the first one to be true and for the second one to be true, then the third matter is the possible one, and there is no other alternative whatsoever, that there must be a creator. And in the hadith which the Prophet ﷺ, in which the Prophet ﷺ one time was reciting in Surah Al-Maghrib, he was reciting Surah Al-Tur, as in Sahih Al-Bukhari, then a mushrik person, then his name was Jubair bin Mut'im, he was a mushrik then, but he believed afterwards. So he came to the Prophet ﷺ and he heard this verse while the Prophet ﷺ was reciting it in Salat al-Maghrib. He commented when he heard it, أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ. Were they created by nothing, or did they create themselves? أَمْ خَلَقُوا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ بَلْ لَا يُوقِنُونَ. May they have no certainty, or do they have possession of the treasures of your Lord? Or did they create the heavens and the earth? أَمْ عِنْدَهُمْ خَزَائِنُ رَبِّكَ أَمْ هُمُ الْمُسَيْطِرُونَ. Nay, they have no certainty, or do they have possession of the treasures of your Lord? Or are they the ones having power and control over the affairs? When he heard these verses, he said, كاد قلبي أن يطير ومن ذلك الوقت وقر الإيمان في قلبي. He said, my heart almost flew. Jubair bin Mut'im, my heart almost flew, and this was when Iman first settled in my heart. He knew the meaning of the verse and what it entails. So Iman settled in his heart. And then he became one of the believers and one of the companions of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So this is it. Allah khalaqana. Allah created us. Then the author said, وَرَزَقَنَا. He provided sustenance for us. And this is part of the lordship of Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, singling Allah as the only Lord, that He is the Creator, the Provider. And the proofs for this are replete. The intellectual, the textual and intellectual proofs are many. As to those in the Quran, the textual proofs in the Quran, it's just like the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ, as in Surah Al-Dhariyat 51:58. إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ. Verily Allah is the all provider, owner of power, the most strong. And also the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Dhariyat 51:22, وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُوَعَدُونَ. And in the heaven is your provision and that which you are promised. And in Surah Al-Imran in 3:37, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرْزُقُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Verily Allah provides sustenance to whom He wills without limit. Even the mushrik Arabs knew that this is the truth, that Allah is the creator and Allah is the provider. Listen to their confession as Allah tells us about it in Surah Yunus in chapter 10, verse 31. قُلْ مَنْ يَرْزُقُكُمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ أَمَّنْ يَمْلِكُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارِ وَمَنْ يُخْرِجُ الْحَيَّ مِنَ الْمَيِّتِ وَيُخْرِجُ الْمَيِّتَ مِنَ الْحَيِّ وَمَنْ يُدَبِّرُ الْأَمْرِ فَسَيَقُولُونَ اللَّهِ. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who provides for you from the sky and from the earth? Or who owns hearing and sight? And who brings out the living from the dead and brings out the dead from the living? And who disposes the affairs? They will say, Allah. Say, will you not then be afraid of Allah's punishment by setting up rivals in worship with Allah? The rizq, the provision, covers all forms of sustenances which Allah gives the living. And provisions are of two types, or a rizq, the sustenance, is of two types. Number one, particular. The particular type, al-khas. And this is the lawful provision for the believers. The lawful provision for the believers. This is particular to the believers. And this is the beneficial sustenance. If it is utilized in obedience to Allah. We read in Surah Al-A'raf chapter 7 verse 32, قُلْ مَنْ حَرَّمَ زِينَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي أَخْرَجَ لِعِبَادِهِ وَالطَّيِّبَاتِ مِنَ الرِّزْقِ قُلْ هِيَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا خَالِصَةً يَوْمَ الْقِيَامِ. Say, O Muhammad, who has forbidden the adoration with clothes given by Allah, which He has produced for His slaves, and the at-tayyibat, all kind of halal food? Say, they are in this life of the world for those who believe, and exclusively for them, for the believers on the day of resurrection. Thus we explain the ayat in detail for people who have knowledge. This is the first type, the particular sustenance, the particular provision. The second is the general one. The second is the general one. And this is the provision needed to establish the physical build-up of the living. This could be halal and it could be haram. Lawful and unlawful. And whether the one receiving this provision is Muslim or Kafir. This is the general type. We read in Surah Hud, in chapter 11, verse 6, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. And no moving living creature is there on earth, but its provision is due from Allah. This is the general provision. This is the general provision. This is from the Quran. And as for the Sunnah, then from that is the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the fetus, that the angel is sent to the fetus to write down four things about it: its provision, its lifespan, its actions, and whether it will be from the blessed or the wretched in the hereafter, as in the hadith reported by al-Bukhari. As for the intellectual proof that Allah provides sustenance for us, we cannot survive except with food and drink. And both of these are created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asserted in Surah Al-Waqi'ah in 56, from verses 63 to 70, قال الله تعالى أفرأيتم ما تحرثون أأنتم تزرعونه أم نحن الزارعون لو نشاء لجعلناه حطاما فظلتم تفكهون إنا لمغرمون بل نحن محرومون أفرأيتم الماء الذي تشربون أأنتم أنزلتموه من المزن أم نحن المنزلون لو نشاء لجعلناه أجاجا فلولا تشكرون. Tell me, the seed that you sow in the ground, is it you who causes it to grow, or is it that we cause it to spring forth and grow? Were it our will, we could crumble it to dry pieces, dry chaff, and you would be regretful, saying, indeed we have been punished, we have indeed been deprived of our harvest. Tell me, consider the water that you drink. Is it you who cause it from the rain clouds to come down? Is it you who sent it down from the clouds to the earth? Or are we the causer of it to come down? If we willed, we verily could make it salty and undrinkable. Why then do you not give thanks to Allah? So these verses are clear proofs that both food and drink and water is from Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. All that we need is from Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the author said, after he said that Allah created us, this is the first matter, He created us and provided us with provisions, then he said, وَلَمْ يَتْرُكْنَا هَمَلًا, and He did not leave us without a purpose. Did not leave us without a purpose. Meaning, we were created for a purpose. This is the third issue under this first fundamental matter. And there are textual and intellectual proofs that Allah did not create us except for a purpose. In the noble book, the Quran, the glorious Quran, we read in Surah Al-Qiyamah, verse 75-36. قال الله تعالى أيحسب الإنسان أن يترك سدى؟ Does man think that he will be left suda without a purpose, not being given orders and prohibitions, etc.? Does man think he will be left aimlessly? And also in the glorious Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in Surah Al-Mu'minun, in 23, verse 115, أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ Did you think that we created you in play without a purpose, without any purpose, and that you would not be brought back to us? These are some of the textual proofs that we are created for a purpose. And this purpose is to live this life in accordance with Allah's way. This is the meaning of worship. And this purpose is clearly stated in the Noble Quran. In the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ In Surah Al-Dhariyat 51-56. And I, Allah, created not the jinns and humans except that they should worship me alone. The jinns is another creation created from fire. From fire. And the angels are a creation of Allah and they are created from light. As to the intellectual proof, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all wise. All of His actions are in accordance with His knowledge, His wisdom, His mercy, His justice. He created us and provided sustenance for us, not to just eat and drink and pass the time like cattle, as our Shaykh rahimahullah explained, and that there will be no resurrection in the hereafter or no accountability. This is something against and not befitting the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one free of all imperfection, the Most High. This would be rather entirely aimless and futile, and high Allah is above acting in such ways. And it is not possible that Allah should create this creation, then send messengers to them, and then make lawful the spilling of the blood of those who reject and oppose the messengers, and then the final result of everything is nothing. This is impossible due to the wisdom of Allah, the Most Mighty and Most Majestic. He created us and provided sustenance and sent the messengers and revealed the scriptures to them and commanded that we obey them, and that we fight the obstinate. Had there been no accountability, no return, no reward, no recompense, this would have been entirely aimless and futile. Allah decreed these matters because there is a day of return, and man will be held accountable. The good for good, and the just punishment for the evil. And therefore, having this hereafter, or the next life following this life, is the all wisdom. To work for the real life, the endless one, so as to attain the bliss forever, is also the sound conclusion of those who ponder on this purpose of our existence. This is the real life. And if man does not give it the true concern that it deserves, then he will be regretful in the next one and will say, as Allah said in Surah Al-Fajr 89:24, he will say, يَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي قَدَّمْتُ لِحَيَاتِي. He will say, alas, would that I had sent forth good deeds for this my life, for the next one. He called it life, although this is life which we live in. But this life is coming to an end. It will discontinue, totally come to a halt. But the real life is the next one. Either in endless bliss, we seek Allah from His bounty, or an endless torment, and we seek refuge in Allah from that. And that's why now we know that Allah did not leave us aimlessly. He sent to us messengers to nations before, and to us this ummah, this nation, He sent us the prophets and messengers, and to this ummah He sent the messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, relating the signs and the verses of our Lord to us, purifying us and teaching us the book and the wisdom, just as he had sent messengers to those before us. And in this Allah reminds us concerning this matter, as in Surah Fatir, chapter 35, verse 24, وَإِن مِّنْ أُمَّةٍ إِلَّا خَلَى فِيهَا نَذِيرٌ. There was not a previous nation except that Allah sent a warner to them. And there never was a nation but a warner had passed among them. And this is evidence that Allah did not leave us without a purpose. And Allah sent the messengers to the creation in order for the proof to be established upon them, and that they should worship Allah in a manner that He loves and is pleased with, not in accordance to our whims and desires. Say that this is good, this is bad. What's the reference in all of that? Each person will have his own good and his own evil definition of things, and his definition of evil. Allah mentioned about the messengers in Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 163 or verse 165. رُسُلًا مُبَشِّرِينَ وَمُنذِرِينَ لِأَلَّا يَكُونَ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَى اللَّهِ حُجَّةٌ بَعْدَ الرُّسُلِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَزِيزًا حَكِيمًا. Messengers as bearers of good news as well as of warning, and all that that mankind should have no plea against Allah after the messengers. No excuse before Allah. And Allah is always the Almighty, the All-Wise. It is not possible for us to worship Allah in a manner that He is pleased with except by means of the messengers. They are the ones who explained what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves and is pleased with. And they explained all the things that will draw us closer and near to Allah. And the great purpose of sending the messengers is clearly established in many textual proofs. Take for example chapter 4 verse 64, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا لِيُطَاعَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. So the purpose behind sending the messengers is that should be obeyed and followed regarding that which they received from Allah, from the revelation. We sent no messenger but to be obeyed by Allah's leave. And the wisdom of sending them is to guide us to the true path and to clarify the worships, what is acceptable to Allah and what's not acceptable. Because the human intellect cannot independently deal with this matter. And that the receiving from Allah cannot be accepted through the messengers. So they are to be obeyed, and all success is in their obedience. قال الله تعالى in chapter 33 verse 71, وَمَنْ يُطْعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest success. And whoever disobeys the messengers will enter the fire of hell. قال الله تعالى in Surah An-Nisa 4:14, وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَهُ يُدْخِلْهُ نَارًا خَالِدًا فِيهَا وَلَهُ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ. And whoever disobeys, whosoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger and transgresses His limits, He will cast him into the fire to abide therein, and he shall have a disgraceful torment. And this is also proven by the saying of the Prophet ﷺ in the hadith related by Abi Hurairah, may Allah be pleased with him, that Rasulullah ﷺ said, كل أمتي يدخلون الجنة إلا من أبى. All of my ummah will enter paradise except those who refuse. قالوا يا رسول الله ومن يأبى. So it was said, and who would refuse, O Messenger of Allah? قال من أطاعني دخل الجنة ومن عصاني فقد أبى. Whoever obeys me will enter paradise, and whoever disobeys me will enter the fire. And this is reported by Al-Bukhari rahimahullah. This statement by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and whoever disobeys me will enter the fire, this reminds us of the case of Fir'aun with Musa alayhi salam. And that's why the author cited the verse in Surah Al-Muzzammil in 73:16 as an evidence. Inna arsalna ilaykum rasulan. Subhanallah. Inna arsalna ilaykum rasulan shahidan alaykum kama arsalna ila fir'aun rasula فعصى فرعون الرسول فأخذناه أخذا وبيلا. We sent a messenger to you, O people, O men, a messenger, Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, to be a witness over you, as we did send a messenger, meaning Musa عليه السلام, to Fir'aun, the Pharaoh. But the Pharaoh denied and rejected the messenger. So we seized him with a severe punishment. And what is intended by the citation of this verse, and Allah knows best, is a reminder to this ummah regarding the great favor of sending this messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also to warn lest it will fall into the same practice of Fir'aun and his people, and thus receive the punishment from Allah as they received it. It means that Allah send you a messenger, as he did send a messenger to Fir'aun, and therefore contemplate what was the position of Fir'aun and his people, because the sunnah of Allah, his way is one, cannot be changed. So what happened? فَعَصَى فِرْعَوْنُ الرَّسُولَ فَأَخَذْنَاهُ أَخْذًا وَبِيلًا. But the Fir'aun, the Pharaoh, denied and rejected the messenger, so we seized him with a severe punishment. Severe punishment. Wabila. In the verse, wabila. Linguistically, it means the heavy thing. As came from Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and his father. That the Arab says, ta'amun wabil. Heavy food. Bad outcome. So when the wholesome, palatable food, which can be digested, is taken, then the stomach digests it swiftly and easily, and doesn't need long time. Otherwise, it would have a bad outcome if it is of the other type of food, which is heavy and not wholesome. And Abdullah bin Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, said, Al-haqqu thaqilun mari, wal-batilu khafifun wabi. The truth is heavy, and its outcome is... It means, أَمَّا الْحَقْ فَإِنَّهُ وَإِنْ كَانَ الْإِنسَانِ يَحْسَبْ أَنَّهُ ثَقِيلٌ عَلَيْهِ فَهُوَ مَرِيٌّ خَفِيفٌ. The truth, even though the person may think it to be heavy, but rather it is ease and light, meaning its outcome, the end, is good when the person takes by the truth. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse said he took Fir'aun with severe punishment, destructive, drowning him and his armies in the sea, leaving no one. Then after that followed the torment in the barzakh life, in the barrier life, until the day of resurrection, then the torment in hell, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Ghafir verse 46 concerning them. النار يعرضون عليها غدوا وعشيا ويوم تقوم الساعة أدخلوا آل فرعون أشد العذاب. In Surah Ghafir, the fire, they are exposed to it, Fir'aun and his people, morning and afternoon. And on the day when the hour will be established, it will be said to the angels, cause Fir'aun's, the Pharaoh's people, to enter the severest torment. We seek refuge in Allah from hell. This covers the discussion on the first fundamental matter, which the author, rahimahullah, mentioned, and which pertains to his lordship, that Allah created us and provided us with sustenance and did not leave us without a purpose. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those who believe in these matters with certainty and who act accordingly. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.